Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you here this morning, and thank you so much for coming. And it always amazes me to see all of you file in and fill this place up. That's awesome. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you here today, and it's a privilege to be here once again. It's good to see Mason back there. Mason and I have worked a little bit together. He solved a problem we had for months there at the school, and that was a Turo golf cart that would not run. But he got it running. And we're thankful for that. So it's good to see Mason and every single one of you here today. I'm appreciative of that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Brother Ziegler called me, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago. And just about as soon as he called me, I can't say quite exactly immediately, but I knew what we should talk about today. And even for tonight, it came rather quickly, and I'm thankful for that, because that's always helpful when the Lord helps you know what you should talk about. And so, Revelation chapter 21 is what we're going to be looking to today, and while you're turning there, do you know that having the right perspective on a situation matters? Perspective matters. A shoe manufacturer who decided to open his business in the Congo market sent two salesmen to the undeveloped territory. As they got to that territory, the two salesmen decided to go around town and see what type of sales they could potentially try to figure out how to sell shoes there. And one salesman, who tended to be a little bit pessimistic, decided he was just going to go ahead and cable back immediately. And so he did. He cabled back to his boss, and he said, "The prospect here in the Congo is nil." That's all he said. It's nil. Interesting. No one wears shoes, he also said. But the other salesman that was wandering the countryside and in that little town there in the Congo, he saw that no one wears shoes as well. And he noticed that nobody had them on. So he cabled back. He was a little bit more optimistic. He cabled back to his boss and he said, "Market potential here is terrific. Everyone is barefoot." Perspective. A young couple rented a vacation cottage for a week. And one afternoon, the husband was in the living room. He was looking out at where they were staying, and there was a swimming pool, and the ocean was just beyond that swimming pool. His wife was in the kitchen. They had just had breakfast. She was washing some dishes, and there was a tennis court over here. And her husband, who was in the living room, said, "Hey, we should go and get some exercise," as he's looking at the ocean and as he's looking at the swimming pool. Well, his wife, who was in the other room, who was washing dishes, was looking out at the tennis court thinking about playing tennis or pickleball, and she said, "Yes, we should." And without talking to each other, the husband went and got his goggles and his sandcastle kit, and his wife went and got her pickleball paddle. And they met and they realized they were on the wrong page. Perspective matters. The window a person chooses to look out at the world often determines that individual's perception of reality. And as Christians, I believe it's important for us to have the right perspective. We live in a day and age where life brings us cares and concerns, sorrows and pain, stress and anxiety, financial strain, family woes, relational hardships. The list could go on, couldn't it? And if we're not careful, all of those things in life can get into our minds and into our lives, and we start to lose perspective. We read here in Revelation chapter 21. I hope you're there. If you are, say amen. Oh, wonderful. Revelation chapter 1. We gain a heavenly perspective. Now, I must admit to you this morning, what I'm about to share with you is not profound. It is a very simple truth, but this is what I feel like God has for us. And so that's why we're going to talk about it. But we find that John the Revelator is exiled to the island of Patmos. And he is writing of visions that he is seeing. And we read here in Revelation chapter 21 a vision that he is seeing. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he sat upon the throne, and he said, "Behold, I make all things new." Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true, and they're faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Which is the second death. The heavenly perspective is for those who have overcome sin. Verse 7 tells us, "He that overcomes sin shall inherit all things." And on this Sunday morning, God wants us to know that he is seated on the throne. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And he offers us living water. And he that overcometh sin will be his son and will inherit all things. This morning I'm here to remind us that heaven, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, heaven. And when I mention heaven, I'm talking about the new kingdom, the new heavens and new earth, the new Jerusalem. I'm just going to mention that now. So when I mention that later, you know what I'm talking about, is a place that we need to be reminded about. Heaven is a place we all want to go. Heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a perfect place. And heaven is a private, exclusive place. Requirements must be met to enter. And John, here in Revelation chapter 21, I believe gives us a few perspectives on this spectacular, words can't describe it, amazing place. First, heaven is a prepared place. In our passage of Scripture, verse number 2, it tells us that heaven, the New Jerusalem, is a place that is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Kind of interesting to me. Who likes weddings? Not a hand. No, there's one. Anybody like weddings? There's a couple. Weddings are not for me. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, weddings. I'll tell you, the groomsmen have to be just so. The bridesmaids have to be just so. You have to get matching suits, matching ties, matching belts, matching socks, matching shoes. You name it, it has to match, or at least coordinate, right? The bridesmaids have to get bouquets. They have to also have matching dresses or coordinating dresses. They have to make sure the church is just so. They have to make sure the reception is just so. And then, forget all of that. Think about the bride. Oh my. The bride has to go get a loan for a dress, $45,000, maybe $50,000. Who knows? They have to make sure they're dressed as modest, which is good. They have to make sure it's altered and everything is just so, because why? It's their wedding day. They want to present themselves to their husband as best they possibly can, and they have to make sure everything is in place. I have two girls. I really need to start planning right now. We're going to have a budget, I'll tell you that. Weddings. Oh. John, here in Revelation, is explaining, here in this verse, that God has prepared the holy city like a bride would before she was to see her husband. God has thought out every single detail. He has everything prepared. Words are inadequate to explain the beauty and the majesty of it. The creator of the world, who made the sun and the moon and the stars, the majestic mountains, the rugged deserts, the beautiful countrysides, our planets, our lakes, and our rivers, he is the one who is preparing this place for us. Heaven is waiting for all who have put their trust in Christ and believed in him. And in John chapter 14, verse 2, it tells us that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am, there ye may be also. I want to tell you on this Sunday morning that heaven is a prepared place. It is. You know, many people have wondered what heaven will be like. Have you ever wondered what heaven will be like? I have. We know a few things about it. We know that in the New Jerusalem, there'll be streets of gold. We know that there will be mansions. We know that God will dwell with us. What a thought. We know that we will worship him. We know our inheritance will be given to us. His presence will be with us forever. Our bodies will be eternal and glorified. Heaven's a place I'm longing to go, amen? It's a prepared city. But you still wonder what it will be like. And in one of his books, A.M. Hunter, he's a New Testament scholar, he relates of a story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about that place that he's about to go to. The doctor fumbled for words. He didn't know what to say to this guy who was soon to be in heaven. He just didn't know what to say. And finally, there was a scratching at the door. The door was shut, and there was a scratching at the door, and he had it. The doctor said to the man, "Do you hear that?" The man nodded his head. He said, "That's my dog." He said, "He has no notion what is going on in here, but he hears my voice, and he knows that I am here, and he simply just wants to be with me." He said, "Isn't that the same with you? You don't know what lies ahead, but what you do know, what you are confident in knowing about, is that your master, your creator, your savior, the one who died for you, is there, and that should give you comfort and hope and rest." And ladies and gentlemen, on this Sunday morning, we know that our master, we know that our creator, our savior, the one who died for us, is waiting with open arms for us in that prepared place. Heaven is a place that has been prepared for his saints. If you know him, you can rejoice. If you are weary, you can be encouraged. If you are weak and heavy laden, you can find rest and hope in that confidence this morning. I say hallelujah. Heaven is a prepared place. But not only is heaven a prepared place, but heaven is a perfect place. We read in our passage of Scripture, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he sat upon the throne, and he said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true, and they're faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture that we can stand on and we can rest on this Sunday morning? I say hallelujah, praise the Lord. You see, from the beginning of time, man has tried to make
things perfect, haven't we?
We have tried to make things perfect. In fact, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, we read about the very first city. At least it's the first city ever recorded in Scripture. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. And from that city until now, we have tried to build things bigger and better and faster and more efficient. We've built communication systems that reach across the globe. We've built structures to withstand the strongest storms and winds. We have skyscrapers that go past the clouds. We have airplanes and cars that get us anywhere we need to go. Man has built complex machines to fix the hardest equations. AI is taking over our digital space now. Modern medicine is and has advanced to levels that other generations could really only dream of. Weapon systems that boggle the mind. Ships and submarines that traverse our oceans. Spaceships and moon rovers that crawl over our planet. Man continues to build and build bigger and better and faster and more efficient. But we cannot compare to the perfect place that God, our Creator, is creating for us. And we gain another perspective here in Isaiah. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to, though. Isaiah chapter 35, verse number 5, we gain another perspective about this perfect place. Because it says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fool, shall not enter therein. No lion shall be there, no ravenous beast shall go upon thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I want to tell you on this Sunday morning that the cares of life will be no more. The pain that you are going through right now will be forgotten. The relationship issue you have right now will be forgotten. The job stress you have in your life will be no more. You won't have to worry about busted knees and broken bones, heart attacks and kidney failures. You won't have to worry about cancer and diabetes and loss of eyesight or the flu. There won't be physical infirmities in that glorious place. Death will be no more. Sorrow will be forgotten. Tears will be wiped from your eyes. There will be no more crying, because our God in heaven is creating a perfect place for all who will believe. Hallelujah. Glories of all glories, while those are wonderful, while those are spectacular, all the causes of our pain and sorrow and suffering and our crying are a result of sin. Sin is the reason for pain and suffering that we experience on this earth. All the evils we face are a result of the work of sin. And I want to tell you and encourage you on this Sunday morning that sin will be banished from that perfect place. Hallelujah. Satan will not be there. The flesh will not be there. Sin will be kicked out of heaven, and it is not there right now. It's a perfect place. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 5 tells us, he who overcomes, and I want to tell you right now that you can overcome. He that overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Some glorious day, church, we as Christians will enter the kingdom of God. We will partake in his glorious creation, and he will dwell with us, and we will dwell with him. Heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a perfect place. And I hope that you are longing for that wonderful, glorious, perfect place. What a day that will be. Heaven's a prepared place. Heaven's a perfect place. But heaven is a private, exclusive place. Requirements have to be met to enter. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So sad. Terrible. Terrible. A number of years ago, a Gallup poll showed that 78% of Americans, almost 80% of Americans, expect to go to heaven. However, hardly any of them go to church, read their Bible, pray, have a relationship with God. They even, in fact, will admit that they please to live their lives for themselves rather than God. And they expect to go to heaven. In an article titled, "Are We Ready for Heaven?" a man by the name of Marcy Irwin points out that only 34% of American people who call themselves Christians attend church less than once a week. He says, "We sing when all my labors and trials are over, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore. However, unless our attitudes toward the Lord and our appreciation of Him change greatly, heaven may be more of a shock than a glory." While heaven is a place I long to go, heaven is a prepared place. I can't wait to get there. Heaven is a place that is going to be perfect. Everything is going to be just how you probably imagine some of the things that heaven might be like now, but it's going to be way better than what you can think of. But it's a private, exclusive place, and you have to make arrangements to enter that prepared, perfect place. And we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, that "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." There are many in this world today who do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and do not have a relationship with Him. They've chosen to live their lives in a way that pleases only themselves and not God. And we read in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Also in Romans, we read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God knew that everyone in His creation would sin. And so God sent His Son to come and to die so that we could have eternal life through Him. Heaven is a place that I long to go to. Heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a perfect place. But heaven is exclusive. But I'll tell you on this Sunday morning, it's open to anyone who might believe. You know, the Bible has many, many stories of people who have lived lives of sinfulness but have been redeemed. Did you know that? The Bible is full of stories of people who did terrible things, and yet God in His love and mercy restored their lives. I'm thankful for that. I think of Rahab. I think of Peter. Think about Peter. How many times did he deny the Lord? He was with Him. He saw miracle after miracle, and yet he denied Him. But through God's grace and mercy, he was restored. I think of Paul. Used to be Saul. Now Paul. Persecuted the church. Was a terrible person. And yet, because of God's grace in his life, God restored him. That's powerful. I think of Thomas and James, Mary and Martha. All lived lives of sin. All lived lives that were not pleasing to the Lord at some point in their lives. And yet, because God's grace and mercy in their life, He was able to restore them. And I'll tell you, on this Sunday morning, there's no doubt a host of people here today who lived lives of sin. And yet, because of God's grace in your life, you are now overcoming. Amen? You have overcome. And I praise the Lord for that reality. I want to say thank you and continue on the journey, because you can overcome. You can make it. But I'll tell you also, on this Sunday morning, there's no doubt some here who have not overcome. And I want to tell you this morning that He's the one who died for all of those people. He's the one who's died for all of us here today. And on this Sunday morning, if you're not right with God, I have good news to tell you. He died for you to gain a heavenly perspective, to enter that prepared, perfect place. You must be right with God. You must confess that He is Lord and be united with Christ, because there will be many on that day, the day of judgment, that say, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done X, Y, and Z? Haven't I done so many wonderful things? I cast out demons in your name." And He will say to some, Scripture tells us, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." But I have good news for you today. I have good news for you today. God wants you to know that He's seated on the throne. He's interceding on our behalf. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And He offers you living water. And he that overcomes sin will inherit all things. Hallelujah. I hope that you are longing for that day. I hope that you are waiting with anticipation for that prepared place and that perfect place. And I hope that you have made arrangements to be in that number. Heaven will be a glorious occasion. Heaven will be a place that we all want to go. And I hope this morning that you have made arrangements to meet us there. I don't know where you're at today. You may be discouraged. You may be in sorrow. You may be fearful. You may be unbelieving. If you find yourself discouraged or in sorrow, rejoice that God is with you and that He is coming. If you are fearful, trust Him with your future and remember that He is coming. And if you are unbelieving this morning and you don't know Him, maybe you used to know Him, but now you don't. If you are unbelieving this morning, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you and longs to establish a relationship with you, and you can partake in His prepared, perfect city. Hallelujah. In song number 283 in your hymnal, it reads, and you can get it out, because we're going to sing it here in a minute. "There's coming a day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. And all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore." What a day. What a day that will be. There'll be no more sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. No more pain. No more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day. Glorious day that will be. I don't know where you're at on your spiritual journey. I don't know why I was supposed to preach this morning. The devil's been fighting. Devils may have been fighting you. But I came today to tell you that heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a perfect place. And heaven is a private, exclusive place. And if you haven't made arrangements with him this morning, this altar's open and we'd love to come and pray with you. Because he longs to establish a relationship with you. Why don't we stand this morning? I'm not pulling. If you have a need on your heart, we'd love to pray with you. 283. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace. See when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day . If you don't know him this morning, you can. I would invite you to come. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to share, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the Heaven, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, there may be someone here who didn't have the courage to step out, but we ask that you would draw them to yourself. We ask that you would encourage them and help them recognize that you love them and that you want to establish a relationship with them. Father, we thank you for this prepared place. We thank you for this perfect place. And we ask that you would help us and encourage us in this day to make heaven our home. And we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Shake hands, be friendly. You're dismissed.